Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and you asked for it. You asked for it. You got it. It is Triple H. No. Not the WWE superstar. Triple H. Hazy, hot, and humid. Or as we say in the DMV, man, it's hot out there. It is hot out there. And you know what? It's funny because as hot as it is outside, this is a great day to stay inside. And, you know, I'm watching the weather reports, everyone's saying stay in, stay in, stay in. I think that's a perfect segue to our two guests today. First, your favorite super referee, Craig Muckle, to come in and talk about all things LeBron. Maybe he's got an inside track as to where LeBron lands. And then in the second half of the show, you want to talk about inside? Well, we've got the NFL mini camps opening up in about 30 days. But last night out at Capital One Arena, they're playing football inside. And we've got the commissioner of the Arena Football League, Rand DeBoe, to join us in the second half of the show to talk all things indoor football, the Arena Football League. So we're excited about that. But, of course, as always, we've got to get to our pay attention topic. We've got a couple today, and I want to lead in with once again, senseless gun violence rears its ugly head again, this time in one of my favorite towns, Annapolis, Maryland. So everyone is aware the shooting took five lives out at the Capital newspaper. Tragic turn of events. But in the sporting world, the Orioles, who are having a miserable, dismal season. They're down 29 games out of first place behind the New York Yankees. But they gave a moment of silence out of the stadium last night for those five victims. One of them, John McNamara, is a sports writer, been a sports writer for years. So I thought that was really classy. And then Bill Belichick, who many of you know is an Annapolis native, grew up in Annapolis, he called the paper and he mentioned that they are his hometown newspaper. I can tell you, having worked in Annapolis for a couple years myself, I read the Capitol every day when I was working there, and it's just a tragic story. So we are with our prayers are with those families as once again senseless violence. Let's move over to New York, and our guy Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow this week was named Eastern Conference All-Star from the Binghamton Rumble Pony. Where do they get these minor league names from? The Rumble Ponies. Anyway, I mean, Tebow's doing well. He's hitting .261, which is better than Bryce Harper. He's got 12 doubles, 5 home runs, 30 RBIs. He hit .318 in June. Now, if you want to go see him, you want to go to this All-Star game, it's going to be in Trenton, New Jersey. And the game's July 11th. You can go out and you can see Tim Tebow play. Now, here's my question. With the Mets having a horrible season, their season's over. Do you bring him up? Now, I mentioned this at the beginning of the year when the Mets were rolling. They had won 5 straight. They were in first place. I said by the end of the season, Tim Tebow will be playing. They'll call him up to sell tickets. Well, I still think that's going to happen. I think Tebow is going to be called up here shortly. If he has a good All-Star game, you know, plays well right after the break, I think Tim Tebow gets called up. It'd be great marketing, and you can sell some tickets that maybe you wouldn't have sold because you're a losing team. Next stop, let's go over the pond to London. Serena, Wimbledon, it starts. Are you ready? Serena, how about this? Serena is seeded 25th after all the winning she has had, all she's done, all the championships. She's seeded 25th. Now, did you know what her world ranking is? 183rd. It's going to be tough for her to win this Wimbledon, I believe, just because of rust. You know, that's one thing about individual sports. If you aren't constantly doing them, you can get rusty. They call it ring rust for boxers who are out of the game, out of the ring for a while. They got to shed off the ring rust. And thankfully for Serena, she's got a good reason to be rusty, which is she had a baby. She's a mom. So it's going to be a tough draw. She's got Caroline Wozniacki in her draw. Luckily, she doesn't have Sloane. She doesn't have Venus. Venus has got a tough draw as well. So who knows? This could be both sisters' last Wimbledon. So I think it's something you want to pay attention to. They can't play tennis forever. Although we would love for them to. So I'm going to be really watching this one closely. And once again, I'm going to be pulling for Serena like no tomorrow because she's the GOAT in her game. And for us to be able to see GOATs in our lifetime, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, I mean, I've seen some GOATs. And so really, really pulling for her. But that is not the pay attention topic that I really want to talk about today. What I really want to talk about, let's hit the button. All right, it's happening once again. You know, I follow the PGA Tour. I follow the USGA Tour. You know, I don't read Golf Magazine, but I'm thinking about it. I always get sucked back in. Here we go. The Quicken National. Now, I can tell you, I've been trying to get out there, but there are no free tickets laying around. But I'm going, okay, is this finally it? Will Tiger Woods finally win a PGA Tour tournament? Well, let's look at it. This thing's a 72. To par is a 72. He shot 65 yesterday. He's minus 5 right now, which puts him about 4 strokes behind the lead. He changed his putter. I read a whole article the other day on the Metro about Tiger changing his putter. It seemed like it worked. It got me interested. It's drawn me closer and closer to Tiger. Is he back this time? Is it for real? Now, he's got a guy ahead of him. Bo Hostler. Never heard of him. I never heard of Bo Hostler. I don't know who that is. So, I think Tiger can catch him. What my concern is can Tiger catch himself? Meaning this. Usually, it's not the other golfers. It's Tiger melting down, self-destructing, falling apart, threw in little patches of the 18 holes. So maybe he bogeys 6 and 7. And that just kind of takes him out of his game. And then maybe he bogeys 15 and 18, and he's out. And you wake up and you go, oh, man, he's out of it. Notice I said you wake up because golf is the best napping sport on the planet. You should try it sometime. Turn your TV down low, like down to like 7, and have no noise in your home. And you're going to be out like a light. And 5 hours later, there you go. Tiger Woods is either in the lead or he's melted down, either one. So I'm going to go ahead and put it out there for everybody. And when I have my prediction segment later in the show, I did not include this one, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Tiger's back. For those of you that listen to the show every week, you've heard this a million times. But he's back. He wins this thing this week. He wins this thing. He plays well today. But tomorrow is where he really shows off. Tomorrow, the black pants, A little hot for Black Pants Tiger, but oh well. The red Nike shirt, a cap, and I'm telling you, tomorrow he does it. Tomorrow, Tiger Woods is back. Pictures, trophy, all that, the whole nine. It's his tournament. He flies out of D.C., cup in hand. Well, they'll have to check it in, the back check, to get back down to Windermere, Florida. But that's the way this thing is going to go. So we'll see, you know, how it all plays out. I'm pulling for him. I'm really pulling for him. So that's our pay attention topic for today. Before we bring in Super Referee Craig Muckle, I wanted to take an opportunity to give my own take on this whole LeBron situation. Now, everyone knows I'm a football guy. Okay, I don't really. To me, LeBron should be playing DN for the Redskins or tight end for the Browns or I don't know, middle linebacker for the Dolphins. I don't know, but or to you or somebody. But, you know, I keep going over this thing in my head. Now, I had a feeling he was detached from Cleveland. You can kind of tell when somebody just kind of checked out. You're just emotionally just detached. I think he had accomplished what he needed to accomplish, which was go back home, go to Akron, go to Cleveland, bring a championship, which he'll go down in history now as, you know, hey, he's the guy that brought Cleveland a championship. But my concern is this next move. And there are a lot of moves out there, and it's really all about winning a championship. And I know Los Angeles seems to be the right fit. Terrible. And now, what's his name? Lonzo. He's got a torn meniscus. They hope he's back for the beginning of the season. So unless you're talking about bringing in, you know, other guys, and the rumor is that he even called Kevin Durant, LeBron did. I don't know if that's true or not. But unless you're talking about bringing in a Paul George and some other guys, LeBron going out there, he's going to score 50 points a game and be miserable. So I know that they could pay. He could make the most money by going to L.A. LeBron, L.A., Bron. I get it. But if he really wants to go down in history, if he really wants to be, quote-unquote, immortal, he's got to win a couple more championships. And I think the best place to do that is really Houston. And I keep coming back to Houston, but my fear is that I think LeBron likes this whole points forward thing. Well, guess what? So does the MVP of the league, the Beard. So you got Harden that likes the guy, Chris Paul, who's probably top five point guard in the association. So what do you do? Three guys who all want to bring the ball up court. What do you do? I don't know. So I'm just a little bit concerned about how that's going to shake out. But if they can figure that out, they've got a creative coach in D'Antoni, although he wasn't creative with the Knicks. So I think they could get it done, and I think that's a place he can win a championship like next year right away. Now, what are the chances he comes here? I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to Super Referee Craig Muckle. But for me, maybe this is the deal. Maybe the deal is maybe drafting the kid they drafted, West Coast kid, Pac-12 kid, draft him, Troy Brown, draft him. He's kind of an Otto Porter clone. Maybe now you could dangle Porter. I know he's got a big contract. He's locked in, but contracts are made, what, to be broken. They're made to be torn up. Everyone knows that. Nothing's guaranteed in life. So maybe you could do some sort of package. I don't know. But, you know, that whole activist thing, bringing LeBron here to D.C. so he can be an activist, I don't think that's going to get it done. You know, I'm crossing my fingers. I hope so. It'd be great for the city, especially with the momentum now of our beloved Stanley Cup champion, Washington Capitals. I like saying that. But the right place is Houston. So, you know, I'm going to leave it up to the expert. I'm going to leave it up to Super Referee Craig Muckle, who should be joining us here in just a second. But, you know, what's your take? Think about it. And one more thing before I close on that topic. And it's just something I want you to think about. We don't have to talk about it right now. But there's a guy at Nat Park, kid named Soto, 19 years old. And last night I'm watching the game. He had two home runs in last night's game. It was floated about that may be the Major League All-Star team. 19 years old, Major League All-Star team. Just think about that, because I'm going to talk about it next week. Now, it looks like, and I'm gonna hit the music, because it looks like Super Referee Craig Muckle is about to win. So we got to has only two words. Two words. Stop. So let's do it. When we talk LeBron. Super Referee Craig Muckle, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
There he is. Good morning, sir. I know you got your zebra stripes on, and you're ready to go to work. So we're going to allow this whole segment to LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. Now, you may not have caught before you came on. I kind of gave a little spiel. I gave a scenario of how I think the home team could get him. I mean, because everybody's in it. And then I gave a scenario of who I thought he should go to, which is the Houston Rockets. But let's hear from the subject matter expert yourself, all things LeBron. Shoot, we're listening.
Well, I would say this. First of all, it's clearly no surprise that he decided to not exercise his option, that he's going to become unrestricted free agent. So, really, I mean, here's a guy who can go virtually wherever he wants to go. Now it's just a matter of who's best suited for him to be a part of. And I actually, the one thing I just want to say, it was actually kind of amusing. According to what some of the reports I heard, he had reached out to KD and asked KD would he be interested in, you know, going to L.A. And the response was hilarious. KD was like, why would I want to do that? You know, so.
Well, and that's what we've been saying. Right. That's what we've been saying for weeks is they don't, there's no team there, in my opinion.
No, I mean,
I'm not sure if they've got full confidence in the coach. And I mean, I don't blame Durant, Prince George's native, by the way. I don't blame him.
No, and here's what I would say. So if we're looking at some viable alternatives, you know, I think clearly some of the real front runners who would be very compelling to see how he would fit in. Philadelphia is a big target. Obviously, the Lakers seem to be a big target. And I don't know why, you know, the conversation would be limited to the Lakers, maybe because, you know, it's perceived that they have more. But, you know, I think the Clippers are, frankly, a more wide-open opportunity. And I don't know what all the salary cap implications are, but DeAndre Jordan is poised to roll out, which is why they went ahead and made the trade to get Marcin Gortat. So,
let me ask you this question: If the Wizards, you know, I know DeAndre is kind of saying, "Hey, I'm out of here with the Clips."
Good, how you doing?
We've been saying,
okay, sure.
We've been saying that they wanted to get a big man, an athletic big man, which is why Gortat's on his way out. Why wouldn't they get a DeAndre Jordan? I mean, it seems like to me he's the guy. I mean, he's athletic, he's big.
Yeah.
Is it they just can't afford him, or what's going on there?
You know, and that's a great question, because my immediate – when I heard that Austin Rivers was coming to D.C. for Gortat, I'm like, really? I mean, are the Wizards trying to basically corner the market on guards and wing players? I didn't get that, because I think, I mean, you're absolutely correct. I'm like, if DeAndre, I mean, why couldn't that just been, and I think it's fair to suggest that DeAndre Jordan should have brought more than just the Marcin Gortat back to the Clippers. But I'm like, to me, that's the guy the Wizards could really use. You know, he's not the best shooter beyond probably 10 feet, but frankly, with what the Wizards already have in Wall, Beal, and Otto Porter, and the young man they just drafted, Brown, last week. You know, they don't really need a whole lot more perimeter presence, but they, as I've said before, they really need more of an inside presence. And DeAndre Jordan is going to give you that defensive presence, that rebounding you need that would actually ignite a fast break. So,
well,
I'm not sure what's going on with that. Yeah, right. He's
a
veteran, no doubt about it.
They need some. I mean, they're starving. I don't know who the director of player development is, but man, they're starving for a guy with gray hair who's got some wisdom, who can kind of tighten that thing up a little bit when things fall off. Now let me ask you, speaking of the home team, is there any way in the world? I kind of painted a scenario how I thought maybe they could get him, and I know that activist thing is kind of cooled off, so that's not going to attract him. But is there a way that they could, and I'm talking about the Wizards, is there a way that they could get LeBron? Like, is it some sort of hocus pocus or magic or something that makes him recognize the Wizards? Because right now I don't think he's even thinking about it.
Yeah. So I think if they're going to get LeBron, they're probably going to have to part with, frankly, one or two of their major pieces, Beal and or Wall. So what does that garner you? I mean, you're getting a little older, maybe a lot older, frankly, by bringing LeBron in at a position where you have some, certainly some younger players. So I think at the end of the day, it can be done. I think the Wizards probably would have to, Wall and Beal would not be together, number one. And I also think they – go ahead.
Well, no, what I was thinking about was, what about they just drafted the kid Brown, who's basically Otto Porter, just younger. What if there was a package? And again, I don't know all the numbers, but I think I know. What if there was a package of draft picks? Right, so maybe you give up Otto Porter and that big, huge, inflated contract. Give up Otto Porter and maybe a number one next year, and maybe even the year after. I mean, think about it. How many overall number ones have won a championship? I can't think of any. Not lately.
No. Yeah.
So
yeah. You're right.
Right. So what's the big deal giving up a number one pick? So maybe you give up two of them. Who cares? But I can tell you right now, if you had LeBron, Wall, Beal, the kid Brown, who I think is a perplexing pick, but oh well, who am I? If you had that core of guys, you're at least in the Eastern Conference Finals, wouldn't you think?
Look, any team with LeBron is going to be better. So I think absolutely. I mean, they couldn't have done any worse aside from not making the playoffs last year. So I do think adding LeBron with what you said would be an upgrade by, I don't want to understate it because, I sound like I actually am. So I think any team with a bit of the Wizards core and beyond would certainly be a viable, at least Eastern Conference contender, championship contender.
Right.
So,
I think that's
workable. But I think really if you're a LeBron, let's look at the team, if we're looking at, the Sixers and Celtics, obviously they have some other things going on there, in terms of players. They're doing.
Yeah, wherever you want to sit down.
Okay.
The thing, though, what concerns me is the home team's got to be concerned about, in their own division. I mean, the Celtics are, a Kyrie away from a world championship. The Sixers. I mean, the Sixers are loaded. If they get LeBron, they're going to the championship. So why wouldn't we, sell the farm? Sell the farm. I'm all for guys. Look, draft picks are draft picks are draft picks. We don't know what's going to happen with these kids. We just don't know. I just don't think there's a lot of, big deal about an overall number one when you can get LeBron. Now, I will say this. There's the caution. I think LeBron comes at – Cleveland can pay, he's a $35 million hit. So I just don't know economically how the Wizards can afford to take them. I just don't know. Sounds like you're at a referee convention here. Y'all are discussing how to call offensive fouls. Is that what that is? That's what it sounds like.
Who's that? Yeah, right.
It sounded like you're at a referees convention trying to figure
out
how to call.
Yeah, exactly. I am. So, So
but
unfortunately, I got to roll out of here. What's that?
Give me your team. Give me your team before you hang up. Give me your team that LeBron goes to.
I'm going to say Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, it's noted. It's on the air. Super referee Craig Muckle, we love having you. Enjoy your referees conference. I hope you guys figure out an offensive foul.
All right, thanks a lot, bro. Appreciate it.
There we go. Super referee Craig Muckle, always take off your zebra stripe because we know that you guys cannot figure out an offensive foul. I get it. So, hey, look, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got a very interesting fellow joining the show here. Randall Bowe is the commissioner of the Arena Football League, and we're excited to have him. For those of you that don't know, Arena Football has been around for a long, long time, and I can remember being the head coach at Crossland High School years ago. And I sent two players to the Arena Football League, and one of them recently just stopped playing. He had a long career. Lamar Bryant had a long career up in New Hampshire. I got another guy, Mark Washington, who's now a defensive coordinator for the British Columbia Tiger Cats. Mark started his career before going to Canada in the Arena Football. And then last night, there's a guy, Steve Day, who was playing for Albany. I coached him 1 year at the semi-pro, a little Maryland, Mason Dixon, semi-pro league. So these guys are all over the place. It's a great league. It's family fun, and it's just clean, good, hard-nosed football, so it's entertaining. So we want to bring the commission and hear from him. But let's do this. Why don't we take a quick little break here and get some D.C. Chuck Brown in us, get us all going, and then we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Money. Speaking of money, World Cup going on. Quick score. Looks like France 1, Argentina 0. So, okay, there we go. For those of you that are interested in the World Cup, as you know, I am not. So, hey, I got to bring in first, before we bring our friend Randall Bowen, commissioner of the Arena Football League, Fit with Joy, Joy Henry. She was out at the Valor game last night. Of course, she is on the court, on the track, but on the indoor football field, you threw me on that one, but okay. And so so she was able to get him for us. So let's bring her in here. Fit with Joy. Joy Henry, are you there?
Hey there, Coach. Fit with Joy here, there, everywhere. You're all right.
Yeah. You ran into the commish here. I thought that was a great find. Man, we really appreciate you doing that. And I want to have you part of this interview because I know you got some questions for him as well. So why don't we just go ahead and bring him in, shall we?
Please do.
So here we go. We got Randall Bowe, and he is the commissioner of the Arena Football League, the AFL. Mr. Bowe, the commish, are you there?
I am here. Thank you guys for having me on today.
Oh, absolutely. No problem at all. Once you bumped into Joy, you kind of knew, like, okay, I got to do this because, I mean, she's just full of energy, right?
Hard to say no to.
Hard to say no to. Hey, believe me on that one. So, look, let's dive right into it here because there's some people out there, believe it or not, and I hope you heard my comments on the league. I know the league pretty well. I follow the league. I like the league. I mean, I really, really do. But I guess right out the gate, I got to ask you, for those in listening that don't know, what is the Arena Football League?
Well, so the Arena Football League has been around for more than 30 seasons. And, you know, it's had a long history. There have been times when it was very popular and had, you know, network TV deals. And then there were times when they ran into financial difficulties. And so it's been kind of an up and down history. We in Washington came into the league, I guess, last season was our first season playing with the Valor and the Brigade. And, you know, what has happened, I think, is we've had a little bit of a shakeout of owners. And, you know, I think in the past, the league ended up with owners that didn't necessarily have the financial wherewithal to support a team over the long haul. You know, they had a lot of celebrity owners. And, you know, great to bring attention to the game, but, you know, in the end, you have to build out a ticket sales organization, and you got to sell ads. And, you know, if you're not really committed to doing that it's a business. It's a business, and it takes work. And so, you know, what has happened is we have four teams in the league. So it's Washington, Baltimore, Philly, and Albany. We've got two very serious, well-funded ownership groups, and we're viewing this as a startup, and we're out there actively looking to expand. We think we have a number of great opportunities to expand for next season. And so we think it's a great sport. You know, every person I take to a game who's never been to a game before comes away a fan. It's so much fun. You're right there with the players. You know, you've got guys coming over the wall. You've got spectacular plays and a ton of scoring. So, you know, we think it's a really exciting game, and we're pleased to be part of it, and we think it's got a bright future.
Well, let me tell you, I was at the inaugural Valor game, and I'm proud to say that, because the building was electric that night. And I know, as I follow the team, I know that the wins have been tough for the Valor, and I want to talk about that in a second. But more importantly, I watched the game last night, and I thought about that first game, and I thought about last night. It still was electric. And that, to me, is telling, because what it's saying is that the product is still entertaining. Win, lose, or draw, you're still going to have a good night out, you know, out at the Valor game. So can you tell us about the local team? Because I know there have been bumps, and I've been following it really, really close. But for those that don't know, you know, how do you kind of take that startup when it's almost like a baby, right? It's having trouble walking. So how do you tell us about that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think what's true about the Arena Football League in particular, you know, given the style of play, given how much passing there is, given how much scoring there is, I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league. And, you know, unfortunately for the Valor, you know, Nick DeVilla, who came in, who's a great quarterback with a great record of winning, you know, a lot of experience in the AFL, and, you know, he gets injured. And that, you know, unfortunate for the team and unfortunate for Nick. I mean, I'm told that he's going to make a full recovery, but so happy for him and his family. But, you know, that's a tough one in arena football. And you look at the teams that are doing well, I mean, it's not a secret. It's quarterback play.
Coach,
well, yeah, I mean,
I'm here. Sorry if I interject, please. Commissioner, thanks so much again for coming on and being able to do this. As I know you're on the road. I'm on the road. I'm working with Monumental Sports today. We're going to be out at a festival, so I know how tough it can be to get you. So, again, I appreciate it. So with that being said, as a marketing representative and how you get the team out there, I know that it's not just the Valor, but it's Brigade. How do you particularly market it? How do you get a fan base behind you?
Well, you know, I think it's a couple of things. People have to know you're around, and then, you know, and get used to, you know, going to games, you know, and especially with arena football, you know, I think maybe we had a team here a long time ago for a season or two, but so, you know, you have to build fan awareness. That's a hard thing to do. And then you have to win. And, you know, I think, you know, a great of how you can do this successfully is up in Albany. So, you know, they launched a team this season. I was there for their home opener. They had a fan fest, and the weather was not good. They had a fan fest with a couple of thousand people out in the street before the game, and then they sold 14,000 tickets. I mean, the place was packed, and they've had great success there. So, you know, I think it takes time. I think it, you know, kind of depends on the market. I think it depends on, you know, the building that you're in. So there are a lot of factors. But, you know, the other thing that we are looking at, working on very hard, actually, and where we think the future of the league is going to be is positioning it for fantasy gaming, and, you know, now you're going to have the prospect of legalized sports betting in a lot of states. And so, you know, we are working very hard. You know, our hope is for next season, you'll be able to sit either in a game or at home watching it, and you'll be able to manage your fantasy team. That'll all be integrated, and you'll be able to place bets. You know, the next place,
awesome.
next play go for more than 10 yards, less than 10 yards, you know, what's the over under for the, you know, for the score. I mean, you know, what's the money line? You'll be able to make all those bets sitting in the arena or sitting at home.
So that's what Monumental Sports Network approach with the kind of virtual experience in a sense and all encompassing all different kinds of aspects. So I think that's pretty great. I think when you talk about Albany in terms of arena football and the transition where guys want to go to the NFL, how do you see that transition? I know Kurt Warner, if I'm not mistaken, Hall of Famer, was once in arena football, and that was an awesome story.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think a lot of the guys that we have on rosters are still hopeful that there's an opportunity to, you know, make an NFL roster. And, you know, of course, you know, we're happy to support that. But, you know, we all know how tough it is to get into the NFL. So.
Well, we also know how tough it is. You mentioned losing the starting quarterback at any level, whether it's high school, college, pro. When you lose your starting quarterback, your percentage of winning, it goes way, way down. Let me ask you, let me shift off the field for a moment and go to exactly what you do as the commissioner of the league. What's that like? What's the day in the life of your duties and carrying out your duties?
Well, so it's making sure that we are going to have, you know, that the games are going to go on as scheduled for the next weekend. It's handling issues with players or that arise under the collective bargaining agreement. It's a lot of the strategy behind expanding the league and developing the business of the league. So it's a whole, it's promoting the league. So, and it's a whole host of things, but it's basically every day is, you know, what can we do today to the league, and, you know, how are we doing in terms of developing and executing the strategy going forward?
And then, of course, the fan base that Joy mentioned, you know, how do you, I mean, D.C., you can't find a more diverse place than here. You know, how do you attract all the pockets of community? In other words, how can they get involved with the team? I know for me personally, you know, I've tried to get out to tryouts. I've, of course, referred tons of high school and college players over to the league. I know the guys who do the media around, especially the Valor, tried to connect with those guys as well. But how can the just everyday person who's listening to the Extra Points radio show right now, who came on this morning, not aware of the league, how can they get connected?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously we would love to have them come to a game and bring some friends because, as I said, I every time I bring someone to a game, even if they're not really a football fan, they come away loving the experience because it's fun, it's so fast-paced, so exciting, right? It's never a dull experience. So, you know, there's that, and we have the playoffs coming up. And we have, a very interesting playoff format this year. So when we finally figure out the seeding, which I guess we'll know after tonight's game, there'll be a home-and-home playoff series. So, you know, say it ends up being Washington playing Baltimore. So there'll be a game in Baltimore and then a game in Washington. And obviously if one team wins both of those games, then they'll go on to the Arena Bowl. And if they split, then it gets determined by total number of points scored.
Hmm.
So we think that's going to be an exciting format. You know, it's different than you've seen in football before. And we think it'll generate a lot of interest. So, you know, come to a playoff game. And then, you know, depending on, you know, the Arena Bowl will be that last weekend in July. And, you know, we'll wait and see what that matchup is. But we think the playoffs are going to be exciting. And, you know, even though Washington doesn't have a great record, I mean, they played well last night. They've played well in some other games. So you never know. That's why they play the games.
That's
well,
why
to
they
piggyback
play the
on
this
that,
would Joy take us out.
I think, yeah, well, to piggyback on that with the tidbit of the fan base, and I've been doing research and reading a whole bunch of books in terms of what makes fans do what they do, be so passionate and identify with their team. And I love the dynamic of Monumental Sports, Monumental, the D.C. area, you got the Monument, you got the Capitol, and the way they entrench it in every particular game and every particular logo, every particular team has that military approach. It has that connection with the nation's capital. And so going with the Valor and even with the Brigade, the kind of approach that they do, I think it's pretty fantastic. And specifically, I see at the game this founding fan jersey. On the back of the jersey, it says founding fan. Like, I think that is just incredibly great marketing. What kind of mindset went behind that? Like, what kind of future do you see for that from with the Monumental Sports and Entertainment, having the Cap, the Caps just won the Stanley Cup. Do you see that transitioning? I mean, even the Mystics were able to say, as a sister and brother, I feel like, relationship, oh, we'll play an earlier game so that we can have the audience here to back us and then also bring home the Cup. What does that say to the fan base?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, developing fans is a process. And I guess the Caps are a great example. So, you know, I can remember after we drafted Alex Ovechkin. So, you know, way back 2004, 2005, maybe a touch later than that. Maybe it's 6 or 7. But in any event, like, you would go to Caps games, there wouldn't be a lot of people there. And the Caps were not a very good team. You know, we didn't make the playoffs. And, you know, and it was hard to get people to turn out. Once we started winning, once we started making the playoffs every year, you know, that's how you build a fan base. So you build a fan base by building a good team, by winning, and then providing a great experience when you come to the game. And I think at Monumental Sports, you know, we do a pretty good job of all of those things. And you know, this is our second season in arena football. So, you know, there's obviously plenty of room to grow, and it takes time to build it, and we will. But, you know, I think the Caps are a great example. And you go from, you know, I can remember going to games, you know, where there'd be a couple of thousand people in the arena. And then, you know, you have a victory parade a couple of weeks ago with 800,000 people. So you can do it.
You know, I can remember when you talk about the Ovechkin and selecting him in the draft, I remember the uniform change. And I thought that was going to kind of, you know, that kind of brought some people out and this and that, but the team didn't win enough. They were winning, but not enough. You're right, though. The formula is that. It's winning, and then while you're winning, having a really good time. You know, and that is the key. That is definitely the key. I tell you what, Randall Boat, we could talk arena football all day long, but we're going to be respectful of your time. Thanks so much for joining us. And it sounded like you said the Valor got one more game out at the arena. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's
okay.
Right. We'll be
and
releasing
tonight.
We'll be releasing a playoff schedule soon.
Very good. That's good. So they got to play the games tonight to see who they're going to play for the playoffs.
Correct.
All right. Very good. I'm going to make sure that I'm out there. And if I can, like Fit with Joy, I'm gonna bump into you. I won't tackle you, but I'll bump into you.
You can take a crack attack with me. We'll see how that goes. But
right, there we go. There we go. I love it. I love it. Randall Boe, Commissioner of the Arena Football League, thank you so much for being on the Extra Points Radio Show.
Thanks. Thanks
thank
for having
you, Commissioner.
Me on. Thank you.
Well, Fit with Joy, you did it again. You know, I've seen you bench press. I've seen you to pass a baton, but I haven't seen you secure a commissioner. So outstanding job right there. And I'm going to go ahead and give us our two-minute warning, and our two-minute warning is this. If you heard what the commissioner said and you were listening closely, the formula to success is winning, and it is enjoying yourself while you're winning. But I think the most important thing he said was it takes time. And in order to take time, you got to have time. You got to make time. And time's the only thing that you don't get back in life. So listen to what he said and listen to what I'm saying right now. If you really want to win, it's going to take time. That's all it is. It's going to take time. But in time, you'll win. So that's our two-minute warning for today. I love those. I should go back and just can all of those and just make an album out of them. I love doing those. So,
I agree.
Joy, are you ready to do some predictions? Are you ready now?
Oh,
are you ready to do some predictions
with? Definitely.
All right, now I got to tell you, you were gone a couple weeks, but the Nats are killing me. So I'm staying away from the Nationals. It's going to be really tough this week. Right now we're 44-36, okay, which still allows for a sponsor, maybe Monumental Sports, to send us to Vegas to bet on arena football games. But right now, right, exactly. Right now, I want to go with the Canadian Football League. Okay, we're going to go Canadian. Right, going to be tough. And we're going to go with the Montreal Alouettes. Okay. I got them defeating the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, AU.
Well, I'm learning every day with you as a coach about football, okay? For one, you taught me about women's tackle football. You just told me you might, or you told the commissioner, Bo, that you might tackle him at a game at arena football, which I just came from yesterday. I'm learning about that. Don't know much about Canadian football, but I'm just going to go with the Alouettes. I like Montreal. It's a nice place. French Canada. Let's just go with them.
Montreal it is. All right, very good. You heard me mention in my pay attention topic, I mentioned the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, led by Tim Tebow, all-star, Eastern Conference all-star. So in an Eastern Conference clash of minor league AA teams, I got the Binghamton Rumble Ponies over the Erie Seawolves. Erie, Pennsylvania, the Erie Seawolves. What say you?
Well, I'm actually going to back up with my prediction only because I like the theme of staying with consistency. So I'm going to go with the Rough Riders. I like the whole approach of riding and running and that kind of thing. So I'm going to go with this one with Tebow's team and just go with the ponies. You know, Tebow, he's on the track. They're trying to call him up to the Mets. So who knows? This Queens girl will like that. So let's go ahead with the Tim Tebow's team and those wonderful ponies. And by the way, the Valor's mascot is just that. It's a horse. It's a white horse.
Oh, wow. That's a good trivia question. I had no idea. So speaking of the Valor, game number three, I've got the Washington Valor over the Baltimore Brigade in an Arena Football League rivalry game. What say you?
I think this is the new Capital Beltway. You know, you have the Orioles here with the Nats. I think that Arena Football is going to bring in some good fan bases. The founding fans are going to rev up and kind of be able to rally around their team. And it's going to be tough to go against that Brigade and break through. But I'm hoping that the Valor can be valiant in their efforts. So I'm going to be with the home local team of the Washington Valor.
There we go. There we go. That's who I'm rooting for, too. So we've got a few minutes early here, and let me ask Fit with Joy. I don't know if you're lifting weights, but I know that you're breathing right into the microphone. So if you're lifting weights, put the weight down. This young lady eats her barbells here. So here's the thing now. We've got a few extra minutes because obviously Super Referee Craig Muckle was at a referee convention, and we cut him a little short. And then, of course, our commissioner, we want to be respectful of his time. So in that few moments, I just want to talk about one thing that's been all over the news this week, and that's this Jameis Winston story. Now, Jameis, you know, he's run into some tough times, had some major transgressions in his life, and he's really hurt this team now. Overall number one draft pick, he's the face of the franchise, and he's going to be out the first three games. Oh, by the way, those first three games are the three toughest games ever in the National Football League by schedule. So they're going to be 0-3 out the gate. There are some that are saying that Jameis' behavior is so erroneous that he's really put his community, his fan base, and his team in such peril that maybe he shouldn't get an opportunity. There are some, most importantly, the team, who says, as soon as he's back, he's in the game week four. So, Fit with Joy, I wanted to hear from you. I know you've been following this story as well. What are your thoughts on this whole Jameis Winston situation?
Well, first, my apologies in a sense of you hearing me breathe or some extent. Like I said, I'm on the road. I'm ripping and running for Monumental Sports Network. So I'm actually grabbing a smoothie to get my day kicked off properly. So eat well, kids.
There we go.
Very important to fuel your body if you have an entire day. So, okay, right along the lines and seriousness with Jameis Winston and just this continual of this degradation. This unfortunately, I can't support it. I see the apologies a little bit too short after the fact. It was a whole bunch of hearsay, this say, she say, this kind of thing. And years after the fact, you're kind of giving us an apology, but not really. It's like we're not sure what you're apologizing for. Are you actually saying that you did it or you didn't do it? Are you looking at the NFL policy and wondering why 1 minute six and then now it's three games? So there's a whole bunch of ambiguity here that I don't understand what their stance is, especially as there are a number of different issues with the NFL brewing. But just in general, as far as Jameis Winston and his track record, his history on different past transgressions, he has too many chances. And I think that's what it needs to be. He needs a very, very stringent and very, very strict punishment. And it's almost as if the NFL is cushioning him from it. We could have a guy, a regular guy, Joe Schmo, walking around, and God forbid he were to do something so egregious to a young lady, he would have something called the justice system against him. He would be taken into that extent, of course, innocent until proven guilty, but he wouldn't be able to sit out from playing a game that he gets paid millions of dollars. It's a franchisee. He has the actual face
supposed to be bringing along the team as a quarterback. I mean, we can go back again into history and talk about Brett Favre. We could talk about Richardson as the Carolina Panthers' former owner had to sell the team, and now he's been fined $2.4 million. So there's different coverage of how people are looked at and what their different consequences and repercussions are for their actual actions. And it just always makes you wonder what kind of politics are going into the dynamics.
Well, and, you know, I can agree with exactly what you're saying. I think this is actually bigger than sports. I think that it's a societal issue. When you look at the top of the house, the most powerful office in the world gets away with such transgressions day in and day out, and nothing's done. So to me, it's way, way bigger than sports. I mean, I could list off so many athletes, actors, you know, the celebrity, and it's disappointing that, like you say, the regular guy, the regular gal who's just walking down the street, if they were to commit some of these acts, they would be who knows what in law enforcement. You just don't know these days. So I think it's tough, you know, if I come away from society and just keep it on the field, he has really put them in a tough bind. And while they did not pull the trigger on him right now, I think it's coming. They're going to be 0-3. They're going to expect him to come back in shape. We don't know if he will. They're going to expect him to win right away. And if he doesn't win right away, because you figure it's 16 games, he's going to miss three. He's going to play 13 games. I think he needs to go like 8-5 in those games. If he doesn't, I don't know what his rookie contract looks like, but it's got to be winding down. I think they're going to replace him. And remember, the league doesn't stand for National Football League, stands for not for long. So we'll see what happens. Good insight on that. Tell us where you are today and what you got going on. And Valor game last night. I guess you'll be at the next Valor game. And Mystics, they're still doing well. And somebody said you were spotted in a Mystics uniform. Is that true?
So I am actually out and about. We're going to be down by Nat Stadium, that area, Southwest, doing one of the festivals. It's wonderful weather. I say wonderful weather because I'm a summer baby, so I like heat no matter what. So as far as that, we'll be down. We're going to be setting up our marketing material, trying to grow the fan base. We're trying to grow the Valor fans, trying to grow the Brigade fans. All that is in capacity in Monumental Sports Network. And I actually have not been in a Mystics uniform. I do have a keychain, however, that displays my ID. I was mistaken for TRP, for that matter, as we had an autographed photograph of her, and someone, or not someone, but a number of people had approached the table insisting that it was me. So, hey, if it works in my favor, maybe the coach will give me a tryout or so. But that's pretty much where you can find me. I'm out and about. I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. Fit with Joy. So that's the tidbit that you get from me.
Well, you know, for those that don't know, and we're running right up on time, but we need to do a segment on rugby because I know that you're an Australian rules football player as well, and so we definitely want to get a segment on that. So maybe down the road we'll definitely look into some rugby. I don't think we've ever covered that on the show. I think bowling and rugby are the only things we got to do that. But, hey, Fit with Joy, always great to see you. How can people reach you? Tell us real fast.
You can reach me on Fit with Joy's website with the online portfolio of joyhenryweebly.com. So joyhenry.weebly.com and at Twitter at Joy Hilary, HILARITY. That will be my DM if you have any questions about fitness tips, questions about athleticism, all those different things. I'll just have a conversation. I'm there for you.
There we go. And Extra Points at Extra Points LLC. Coach at extrapointsllc.com, website www.extrapointsllc.com. Fit with Joy, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks each and every one of you for listening. And as always, the Extra Point is up.
And very good.
We'll talk to you next week on the Extra Points Radio Show.
long way to right center, and it is gone. Off the fake to Jones, Cousins picks it in for a Huskins touchdown. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Reed